Praise the Spirit who will never leave the church by blood once bought. He will show his presence ever. That is what we see in the vision of Zechariah chapter 4, the vision of the lampstand and the promise that God will forever dwell amongst his people by his Spirit. Let us then turn to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah is the second last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah's prophesying to the Jews who had just returned from their 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And the Lord speaks to them through Zechariah. A very encouraging message. Zechariah chapter 4, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I said, 'I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left.' So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my lord?' And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my lord.' So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth.' Then I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left?' And I further answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?' And then he answered me and said, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my lord.' So he said, 'These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth.'" Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you remember, or perhaps you still have one at home in your games room, the Tupperware toy bowl? It's half blue on one side and it's half red on the other side. And it has different holes in there for different shapes. And the purpose of the toy is to put the yellow shapes through the correct hole. And it has two yellow handles on the side, and you pull them apart. The bowl opens and those shapes fall out, and you can redo it and do it over again. If that is not a familiar toy for you growing up, you could perhaps think of another toy that requires fine motor control. Think of Duplo or Lego. We see how difficult it is for a child, for example, to put the right yellow shape into the right hole. How difficult it is for them to build something out of Duplo or Lego, depending on their age. And when we are children, there are things that are simply impossible to do. We don't have the ability, the strength, the intellect to do it. And in some ways, that doesn't change when we become adults. And we can get discouraged about the work that needs to be done. We don't have the resources, we don't have the strength, we don't have the time. This could be the church. It could be our own personal walk with the Lord. Anything that gets you discouraged or down. And this is what it was like for Israel. Coming back to Jerusalem, after 70 years of being in Babylon, they needed to rebuild their lives. They needed to build the temple. They needed to build the walls, which were in ruin. And like children, they just did not have the strength or the ability to get it done. There was oppression from the neighboring enemies, discouraging them at every turn. You can read about that in Ezra chapter 4. And so the task looked impossible. A mountain of rubble stood where the temple used to be. And Zerubbabel, along with many other Jews, returned to these ruins of Jerusalem, their homes destroyed, the temple a mountain of rubble, the walls smashed down. The situation in Jerusalem was bleak. The people languished in apathy, despair, and hopelessness. In response to this, God sends him Zechariah and Haggai. Zechariah has 8 visions. And he is to proclaim to Zerubbabel and the people of Jerusalem these 8 visions from chapter 1 through chapter 6. And Zechariah is given a preview from his present day to the end of days, vision showing him what God is doing in the world, what he is doing for his people. In chapter 3, before the passage, we read about God restoring the priesthood. Satan accuses Joshua of his filthy clothes and of his sin. But God takes them off and he puts new garments on him. Before the exile, the priesthood had become corrupt, full of idolatry. It was rampant throughout Jerusalem. It went to the very courts of the temple. But God restores the ministry of reconciliation in chapter 3. For God is going to continue to bless his people with the forgiveness of sins through the ministry of the priests in the temple. But the temple wasn't built. And so we come to chapter 4. And Zechariah sees the vision of a lampstand, verse 2. Now all the elements of the tabernacle and the temple, the sacrifices, these are all earthly pictures of the gospel, pictures of God's blessing to his people. And one of those elements in the temple was the lampstand. It sat opposite the showbread. In the Old Testament, the purpose of the lampstand was to give light. We read in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament that God is light. Psalm 104 verse 2, who covers yourself with light as with a garment? Or Habakkuk 3 verse 4, his brightness was the light. We read in Exodus 13 that God was a light to his people as they walked and traveled through the wilderness. He was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And so light for Israel meant God is with us. And if God is with us, that means God is blessing us. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light, my salvation. There we see a parallel between light and salvation. That picture in the Old Testament for God's people, that he was with them, that he would bless them, that he was giving them his salvation. But on the other hand, to not have the light in the Old Testament, it meant calamity and God's anger. Consider Job 18 verse 5, the light of the wicked goes out and a flame of fire does not shine. Or Job 21 verse 17, how often is the lamp of the wicked put out? The sorrows God distributes in his anger. But there had been no light in the temple for many years. There had been no high priest to maintain the work of the lampstand to ensure that the light would continually burn. And so for the returning exiles, did this mean that God was no longer blessing them? Was he no longer their God? Were they still his people? So you can imagine the discouragement from the people. They were looking at no temple, no high priestly ministry, no lamps and no lights, and what looked like no church. And it looked like it was going to remain that way. They saw a mountain of rubble, enemies who tried to stop them at every step, and the whole project looked completely hopeless. And so how ever was that work going to be done? How was it going to be complete? Well, we keep reading our chapter, and we see that this lampstand is no ordinary lampstand. On top of this lampstand is a bowl. It serves as a reservoir for oil. And from the bowl, there are 7 channels. From the reservoir feeding 7 lamps. On either side of the lampstand is an olive tree, one on the left and one on the right. And from verse 12, we learn that there are two pipes that are draining from these olive trees into the reservoir. This reservoir, which has seven pipes flowing to seven lamps, supported by the lampstand. And so however you envision this picture in your mind, the whole point of the vision is to teach one thing. It is the continual flow of the oil. The continual flow of the oil, so that there always would be light. The light would remain. The blessing of God would never go out. Oil in the Old Testament is associated with God's Spirit. Think, for example, when the kings were anointed and the Spirit of God would come upon them. And while there is a lot going on in this passage, there's a lot also going on theologically. The one dominant theological theme and point in this passage is the continual work of the Holy Spirit, that God's blessing is going to remain on His people. It will remain in the church. God's people who are in Christ, the church of God, the temple of God, despite whatever happens in the world, God will always continue to bless His people. Just as that oil in that vision is flowing and flowing and flowing, that reservoir continues to fill up. It's never emptying. It's never going to run out. And the reservoir continues to feed the pipes, and those pipes continue to bring oil to the seven lamps. There's an endless flow, an endless draining and feeding, and an endless burning of the lights, an endless supply of the Spirit, an endless supply of God's blessing. God's blessing of fullness, 7, 7, and 7, three times in verse 2. And Zechariah is wondering what this all means. And the angel tells him in verse 6, God assures these discouraged exiles, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The temple is going to be complete. While you may not see the light in the temple, while you may not see a high priestly ministry at work in the temple, your circumstances may cause you to think that I'm not with you, but I am. Zerubbabel and Israel, they say, oh, our enemies are too many. We are too weak. We can't do it. There aren't enough workers. We don't have the resources. We can't go on. Our enemies are too great. But God says it does not depend on numbers. I am the Lord of hosts. I am the Lord of an army of angelic creatures, an army of angels. It doesn't depend on human strength. It depends on the Spirit of God. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on me. It doesn't depend on the ability of people. I will provide the resources. I will ensure that the work is complete. And God will make sure that Zerubbabel will oversee the work, that the capstone will be placed on top of the temple, and the people will rejoice to see it complete. Zerubbabel laid the foundation. God will ensure that that temple is finished and it is complete. He will dwell with His people in fullness once again. And so also by God's Spirit, the church will be complete and be finished, beloved. She will be presented spotless, without wrinkle, in holiness and righteousness on the great day of the Lord, where we read in Revelation 19, a great multitude of people will praise God with rejoicing. So God encourages these people in Jerusalem, do not despise the day of small beginnings. I will make sure that the work is complete. God is able to do this by His Spirit because He is all-knowing, He is all-powerful, He is present everywhere. We see that in our passage, in how the name of the Lord is used. The word of the Lord speaks to Him knowing all things. The Lord of hosts speaks to His power, His omnipotence. He is all-powerful, and the eyes of the Lord, He sees everything. He is all present everywhere. And so do not despise the day of small beginnings. Don't get discouraged by the work or the task, because I am all-knowing, says the Lord. I am all-powerful. I am all-present everywhere. And I've given my spirit, he says, to my two anointed ones. These two anointed ones in his passage refer to Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judea at that time. He was the succession of King David. And as we know, the office of king and high priest in the Old Testament pointed to the Messiah, the messianic king and the messianic priest. And the light was to be maintained by the high priest. But the Lord Jesus is a high priest forever. So his people will always have the Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son as he mediates at God's right hand, continually dispensing his Spirit upon his people. And the Lord Jesus is King, Lord of the earth, verse 14, in the Old Testament, also as in the news, gathering, defending, and preserving his church. Sometimes we can get easily discouraged, beloved. Sometimes we can also feel hopeless. But on Pentecost Sunday, we can be encouraged by the outpouring of the Spirit. Sometimes we look at the church and get discouraged by the challenges and the problems. Some of us get caught up in the spirit of the age. We get caught up in the millionaires and billionaires, the movers and shakers of this world, holding summit meetings, trying to establish their own world order. You're concerned about the church. You get discouraged. What about our own church? Coming out of a pandemic, things are slowly returning to normal. We wonder if church life is going to return to normal. There's an unease in our hearts about the communion of saints. But this not only refers to the church, beloved. What about our own lives personally and individually? Believers are the temple of God. But we get discouraged by sins. Our lives often look more like a rubble, like the temple, or in ruins, than beautifully arrayed in holiness and righteousness. Or we've tried everything we could to raise our children the right way, but they still wander away from the Lord. Perhaps an elder or a deacon could be discouraged about how they're going to find all the time to get their visits done. The piling concerns from their ward seem to mount up. There are projects that need to be done. Tasks that want to be completed. So what should we say to these things and amongst this discouragement? As the people of Israel also experienced. Well, God also has the same word for us today and his people today, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. We must first see that God is all-powerful. That is where we need to start. We need to start with God. God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. As he told his people here in Zechariah 4. And then we must not then moan and groan about our circumstances, but rather use the means that God has given to us so that we might be filled with his Spirit. Those means are his word and the sacraments. Canons of Thought, chapter 5, article 14 is helpful here. God has given means so that we may... God has given means that we need to use by faith. It's because the Spirit works through the word and the sacraments. Therefore, we need to be busy with the means that God has given. Busy with his word and also partaking of the sacraments by faith. If the lampstand was moved away from those pipes in the vision, what is going to happen to the light? The light would go out. Where does the Spirit work, beloved? Through the word and through the sacraments. So stay near the word. Use the sacraments and receive God's blessing by the power of the Spirit through faith. And then we can be sure, using the means that God has given, through his word and the use of the sacraments, encouraging and strengthening our faith, he will work through us. As he says in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will complete his work, beloved, that he has set out to accomplish in this world and also in your own life. Through the power of his Spirit, not by our own might or our own strength, but using the means that he has given to us, his word and sacraments, he will fill us with his Spirit. Beloved, there are simply things that children cannot do, that they just don't have the ability or the strength or the intellect to do it. And if an adult helps them, it becomes possible. Think, for example, of that Tupperware toy, half red, half blue, putting those yellow shapes into the right holes. A father or a mother might help a child to do that. The father may hold the bowl in one hand. He holds his son's hand in the other. And using his right arm, he guides the child's arm to pick up the shape. And he moves the ball around with his left hand, and with his right hand, he puts the shape into the ball, the shape that is being held by the son's hand. God holds the world in his hand, beloved. He is the Lord of the earth. And with his right hand, he is leading and guiding his children and his church by the Spirit. The Spirit who works with them, who lives in them, who dwells in them, and has made us to be his temple. And so by the power of his hand that is moving the world, he is also moving his children, both by his Spirit. Until his temple is complete, till the church is complete, until you are complete. It was completed in the days of Zerubbabel. And he'll complete you and the church for his glory, such that we will be able to say, as God shows us in Revelation, the tabernacle of God, the temple of God, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There shall be no more pain. Then he who sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Amen.